Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Katie Books Productions presents Lenny Gray, an audio drama written, produced, and narrated by Earl Sewell. Previously on Lenny Gray.
He looked at Lenny Gray, then his sons, and then down at Mary, who was holding on to him.
What's wrong with you, girl? Turn me loose.
Curly pulled her away from him.
You making a fool of yourself carrying on this way.
Curly looked into his daughter's sad brown eyes and felt something break. He didn't want to know what broke. All he wanted was to not to deal with the transference of ache that Mary had just shared with him.
I gotta get a drink,
Curly announced as he got Mary to release him. Then he turned on his heel and walked away. Boys, go with your daddy. Make sure nothing happens to him. Lenny Gray shooed them away.
I don't want to go.
Bud trembled nervously.
When he gets to drinking that moonshine, he gets real crazy.
Willie? Lenny Gray looked at the braver of the two.
All right,
he said, and ran to catch up with his father. The next morning, when Lenny Gray woke up, Curly and the boys were gone. She didn't know where they were, but wasn't too concerned about their safety. She rationalized in her mind that they had gone fishing or hunting again. Perhaps they went to town and sat around with other men, talking about their inability to succeed in life, or hopefully, she thought, ways to do better for themselves and their families. Lenny Gray didn't understand why she had these types of thoughts. All she knew for sure was that she ached for something better, and the thoughts haunted her. She heard the faint rumble of thunder and walked outside. She inhaled deeply and could smell the scent of rain that was to come. She walked back in and noticed Mary was sitting at a small table with a glass of brown water. Sweeping her bare feet across the floor planks towards Mary, Lenny Gray said, "What's wrong with you?"
"Hungry,"
Mary answered, resting her forehead on her forearm.
"We all lie. That's probably where the boys are, hunting for food." "I want to keep going to school,"
Mary mentioned as her stomach growled louder than a thunderclap.
"Here."
Lenny Gray gave her some red clay.
"Them years is over, Mary." "I bet if we moved up north, I could go to school."
Mary paused and waited to hear her mother's response. Lenny Gray remained silent.
"Why do Data hate going north so much?"
Mary asked.
"Child, you just can't get moving north out of your thick head, can you?" "No. It's like I got an itch in my brain, and when it comes to thinking about it, I can't scratch it and make it go away. So it just keeps coming."
Lenny Gray sat with her and looked into her questioning and confused brown eyes. She saw so much of herself in Mary. Lenny Gray sighed and then confessed.
"I used to think about going north all the time, just like you."
"How come you changed your mind?"
Mary asked. I ain't never say it changed. Just said that I used to think about it just like you do. How come Daddy won't listen to me? Lenny Gray placed her face in the palms of her hand to think. Then she combed her fingers through her hair and craned her neck up and looked at the ceiling. Scared? Lenny Gray muttered softly. If we move up north, we ain't got none to be scared of no more, Mary said, hoping her mother would see the benefit of that. That ain't the way your daddy see it. I don't understand. Mama, we can get jobs together as housegirls and make enough money to buy everybody a train ticket and enough to live on until we get settled. That's a plan, Mama. We can do that, Mary suggested. I don't think it will work. Too much can go wrong inside of a house. I done heard stories about mistreatment of housegirls, Lenny Gray remarked. It was then that Mary saw her mother as a worrywart. She created scenarios in her mind that were not real, but treated them as if they were, and then just worried over her thoughts in her head. It was a waste of time and energy.
Mama, we can look out for each other so that nothing don't happen. If we see any kind of trouble coming our way, we could just leave and find some new people to work for. Then, once we have money, we can just sneak off at night to a big city like other folks done. He's scared. That's what I think. Lenny Gray paused. Mary, at first, I didn't understand why your daddy was so against going to a big city with a bunch of people. Then he told me a story about what happened to him years ago when Tangi May used to come around talking about Harlem. Something happened to him when he went up north? What was it? Mary asked for clarity. You're old enough to understand certain things, so I'll tell you like it is. Curly, hate big cities. But why?
Lenny Gray leaned back in her seat, closed her eyes, and recalled a story Curly had told her.
When he was 17, back in 1913, he told his daddy that he hated farming and was going to walk to Birmingham to get a job working at one of the steel mills. He had heard that they were looking for workers. So, he left and walked 40 miles to Birmingham. He had no money, and the shoes he had on was coming apart. He ain't know nobody, but figured somebody would help him out. He say when he got there, trains was blowing their whistles and tall chimneys were spitting out black smoke that made it hard to take in air. He say all the trees got cut down and they was digging tunnels deep in the earth. There was some kind of factory. He found a good spot to watch people work so he could see if he could do the job. He said he saw plenty of black men coming out of caves, hauling barrels full of black rocks. After a while, he figured he could do what they was doing as long as they paid him. He said he started walking toward the place, making sure he kept his eyes on the ground when people came past. He said he saw a lot of people in Birmingham. He said people was coming and going every which way, and he ain't never seen so many people who didn't know each other in one place at a time. He said he wasn't looking for no trouble with white folks, so he didn't say nothing to nobody right off. When Curly finally reached the gate, he asked the man if he could come work for him. The man said he didn't hire colored folks. Curly said he told the man that his family worked for the Quinneys out in Sweetwater, and that he was a good hard worker. Curly thought that all white peoples knew each other, and if he said the Quinney name, it would mean that he was approved by white folks. The man told Curly to move along before there was trouble. Well, Curly moved along and stayed in Birmingham for days looking for work. After a while, he got kind of hungry and desperate. He found some black folks hanging out at the train station shooting dice. He asked those black folks some help. He told them that he ain't ate nothing in 3 days and the hunger pains was killing him. He say the city Negroes laughed at him for being a back-of-the-woods type of Negro who didn't know nothing. Oh, Curly felt so humiliated and ashamed because all he knew was farming. He say he stepped away from them and just sat on the ground. Next thing he knew, Sheriff showed up with a couple of men and some shotguns. Curly watched as they arrested the Negroes for shooting dice. He figured he was lucky and was about to leave when one of the white men with a rifle said, "Hey boy, where you going?" Curly said, "Just for a walk." The man say, "You got a job, boy?" Curly say, "No, but he was looking for work." Curly say the man smiled at him and then pointed his rifle at him. Then he say, "I got plenty of work for you, boy." Curly say he thought he had a stroke of luck. Next thing he knew, the man put handcuffs on him and they took him to jail with the two men that were shooting dice. "How come they locked Daddy up?" Mary asked, confused. "Well, child, the bigger question is, why did he fall for the same trick twice? You see, when your daddy was about 10 years old, a man in a truck come down the road and told Curly he had some work for him. And Curly believed the man and went to work for him, and the man pretty much kept Curly locked up. So anyway, they say that Curly was a vagrant and that was against the law to be a vagrant. They gave him 3 months of hard labor. He said they would wake him and all other men up at 3 o'clock in the morning and that they would make him walk 4 miles. Curly said they took him to a coal mine, the same place that they were digging the tunnels in the earth. He said they would work them until 8 p.m. and they would walk 4 miles back to the camp where they slept. Well, he asked a man who was there, "How come they being treated like they is?" And the man told him because they were convicts now. He told Curly that they go around picking up people who ain't doing nothing and make up some charges on them and make them work like slaves. He told Curly the jail system rent out convicts to business people as free labor. Yeah, he told Curly they was doing the dirty work for a rich white man named Jed W. Coma, I believe is the name Curly told me. Curly say it was dark and muddy in those tunnels. He say the walls and the ground was soft like feathers. He say they were half clothed and most of the men were sick and starving. He said he saw them work a man so much that he dropped dead where he stood. Yeah, it was a sad thing, Curly said, and it gets him upset every time he think about it. He said that he got in trouble for trying to run away, and they beat him with a 10-pronged strap until he was nearly dead. Well, when Curly's 3 months was up, he figured they would let him go. But they said since he was so sick from being beaten, and he didn't technically put in any work, they had to start all over and they added 6 more months to his time. "Oh, Mama, they was wrong for that," Mary said, horrified. "Course they was, but there was nothing that could be done." "Well, when did they let him go?" "They didn't. Curly and a few other men broke free and ran off once he started feeling better. They sent the dogs after him. But they had some luck and came across some people Curly knew from Sweetwater. They all got on the back of the wagon and was able to get away. After that, Curly decided that farming was the only thing he wanted to do and that the city was full of people who told lies and meant him no good." Lenny Gray paused for a moment to reflect. Mary didn't say anything. The burden that her mother just unloaded was a heavy one. "I knew your daddy before he went away to that big city. He got into all sorts of silly mischief that young men got into at the time. The days I'm talking about, I was nothing but a little girl, and your daddy was, well, he was older. And he used to smile all the time. Sometimes he would smile at me. I guess I was sort of sweet on him. When he come back from Birmingham, with his back all torn up from being beaten, he was really thin and was barely alive, and I could see something had changed in him. He was different in a way I can't put into words," said Lenny Gray, with an apologetic tone in her voice for not being able to fully explain to Mary, or herself, the exact change she saw in him. "It turned him into a cruel and hard man, Mama. That's what that city did to him," Mary said empathetically. "I suppose it did," Lenny Gray whispered softly.
Marshall Turner's life is a dream come true. He has a successful law enforcement career. He's married to a woman he passionately loves. And he has a daughter who makes his heart swell with pride. Then, in the blink of an eye, tragedy strikes when Luther Parker, a drifter, kills Marshall's beloved daughter and flees into hiding. But living as a fugitive is never easy, especially since Marshall and the police had launched a massive manhunt to track him down. But Marshall has to decide whether to bring Luther to justice or have his vengeance. In Have Mercy, the national best-selling and award-winning author Earl Sewell delivers it all with his riveting tale full of intrigue and suspense. Download your copy of Have Mercy today, exclusively on Amazon.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.